Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here with you, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Well, many of us are familiar with the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 11, "Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." I want to talk to you today about a familiar theme on Real Truth for Today. We talk about it often, and it is such a there's such a need to be reminded about it, and it is the issue of suffering. As Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." Well, in staff meeting at First Baptist Texarkana, we always like to go through a book. And so we had just yesterday finished the book by Erwin Lutzer, Dr. Erwin Lutzer, the storied pastor of Moody Church for so many years and prolific theologian and author. And he wrote the book, No Reason to Hide, Standing for Christ in a Collapsing Culture. We had Dr. Lutzer on the program some months ago, and I got to visit with him at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention last week, and a delightful guy, and just so full of wisdom and the Word of God and willing to take a stand for Christ. But he writes in this wonderful book, his last chapter is titled, "Will We Accept the Blessing of Gospel-Centered Suffering?" And he begins the chapter with Matthew 5, 11 through 12, about what I just read. "Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad." Why? Because he says your reward in heaven is great. "For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." You know, I think in America we get the wrong idea. We have this idea that if we're really walking with Jesus, if we're really doing ministry the way he did it, this is the Andy Stanley deep and wide model. Oh, if we're doing it like Jesus did, everyone's going to flock to us. Our churches will be overflowing. The crowds will be huge just as they were for Jesus. And people will be talking about how wonderful the message is. And, you know, the baptism waters are just going to be stirred day and night and all that kind of wonderful thing. Well, who doesn't want that? I want that. Other pastors obviously want that. Christians want that. We want to see people come to Christ. But we lose sight of the fact that Christianity is always in the minority. It's never in the majority. And the idea that if you preach Christ, people are just going to flock to the message is offensive. And the gospel, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it's offensive. It's offensive to the Jew. It's offensive to the Greek. It's a stumbling block. He says, "For the word of the cross," this is 1 Corinthians 1:18, "for the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside." Where's the wise man? Where's the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? We preach Christ crucified, he said. Now, how has that message come across? Well, to the Jews, it's a stumbling block. It's a scandal. But to Gentiles, it's foolishness. Now, it's a scandal to the Jews because it's like our Messiah is not going to be crucified. That is, you remember when Jesus told the disciples, hey, this Son of Man, in the same chapter, Matthew chapter 16, where Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Hey, amen, Peter. "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And he gives him a pat on the back, a gold star, so to speak. You got this right, Peter. And in the same chapter, when Jesus says, listen, the Son of Man is going to be delivered, he's going to be crucified, he's going to be mistreated and crucified, and on the third day rise again, Peter pulls him over to the side and said, God forbid this will never happen to you, Jesus. And he says, get behind me, Satan. You're setting your mind on man's interest, not God's. So in the same chapter he gets congratulated, he gets rebuked, a serious rebuke, get behind me, Satan. Well, what was going on there? Well, in the mind of the Jew, there's no way that Messiah is going to be crucified. So the preaching of the cross to the Jew is a stumbling block, and to Gentiles, it's totally foolishness. What you're going to follow, your Savior is the guy who gets nailed to a tree. What kind of a Savior is that in the mind of a Gentile? And so that's what we preach. We preach Christ crucified, and it's an offensive message, and people don't like it. Now, if you try and take all the sharp edges off the gospel to make it more palatable, to make it say what it doesn't say, to not call people out, to say, hey, you're okay in your sin, and Jesus loves you just the way you are, and you don't have to change. Just believe on Jesus, and everything's hunky-dory, and he is for you, you know, in the direction you're going in life. You can still be your own God and just have Jesus as a little tack on. We kind of have that, present that kind of a message. As one church said, made me want to puke. He said, we'll do anything in this church short of sinning to reach you for Jesus Christ. And the idea is that came across to me anyway in that statement was, we're willing to compromise whatever to bring you to a relationship to Jesus. Well, okay, on one side of the coin, it's like, hey, I appreciate your desire to see people come to know Christ. But on the other side of the coin is, the gospel calls men to recognize they're sinners before a holy God. They're in serious, serious trouble. They stand in the crosshairs of judgment. And unless you repent, as Jesus said, you will all likewise perish. That's why Ray Comfort, The Way of the Master, to use the Ten Commandments to show people that they're sinners before God, that they're in trouble, serious trouble. And if they died in that state of separation, sinning against God, they're going to die and go to hell forever. Listen, that is not a feel-good message. That is a convicting message. And this is the message that God has sent his Son into the world, that God is light and he sent his Son into the world to go into the darkness. This is the way the scripture reads in John chapter 3. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. If God wanted to judge the world, he would just do it in his holiness and we'd all go to hell. But he sent Jesus so that whoever would believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. And says, he who believes in him is not judged, but he who does not believe in him has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that light is come into the world. And men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Listen, we're called to be salt and light in a lost and dying world. And people who are entrenched in evil, what do? They hate the light. Now, have you ever had the experience, I'm sure you've had, we've all had this experience, you're in a deep sleep and the room is completely dark. You know how when you go to a hotel room and you can pull that curtain, that heavy, heavy curtain, and you can really darken the room and you can turn the AC way down and it's just, man, it's just good sleeping in there. Well, if somebody opens up that curtain and flips on the light and you go from pitch black to all of a sudden there is bright light. Well, that hurts your eyes. And it's like, turn off the light. It is hurting my eyes. That's what happens to people who are living in the darkness. You flip on the light, you begin to shine, and you expose by your life, by your words, that they're living in sin, that they're on the highway to hell. Well, they don't like that. And so they're going to rebel against that. And that's why Jesus said, listen, that's what they did to the prophets, because the prophets before you would say, thus says the Lord. They were watchmen on the wall. They blew the trumpet. They sounded the alarm. They said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The last of the Old Testament prophets is John the Baptist. What was his message? Repent. Turn around, change your mind, metanoia, change your mind, what you think about sin, what you think about self, what you think about the Savior, change your mind, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus preached the same message. He went out at the beginning of his ministry, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What did the apostles preach? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. We refer to this scripture a lot. Acts chapter 17, Paul on Mars Hill. God has fixed a day in which God is now declaring to all men everywhere that they should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Repent, 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 repent. It's all through the scripture. And unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So in order to repent, a man, a woman, a boy, or girl has to understand, I'm in sin, and I am going in the wrong direction. And like the prodigal son, I need to come to my senses. Now that's a work of the Holy Spirit. I like what Adrian Rogers used to say, I can preach truth, but only the Holy Spirit can impart truth. And so we as Christians, we must stand up for truth. We must speak the truth in love. And when you speak the truth in love, it is not going to be popular with the culture. And it's going to get you in hot water with people. It's going to be very controversial. The preaching of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. You want to know if, because we have so many conflicting views out there, you want to know which one is from the Lord and which one is from the enemy? See which one the world celebrates. Because Jesus, when he said, hey, blessed are you when men revile you and say all men are against you evil, of evil, rejoice and be glad, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. He says in Luke chapter 6, verse 26, the opposite of this, woe to you when all men speak well of you, for in the same way their fathers used to treat the false prophets. When the world is cheering us, something is seriously wrong. At a couple of Southern Baptist conventions ago, we had one guy that got up to the microphone, and he kept saying this, the world's watching, the world's watching, the whole world's watching, and we better not take a misstep because the world is watching. Well, okay, the world is watching, and we need to be faithful to walk with God, because more than the world is watching, God is watching, and he's watching to see, will we stand up for Jesus as good soldiers of the cross? Will we walk in the power of the Spirit? Will we trust his word even though it's not politically correct, even though it doesn't fit into the culture? Will we stand firm on the truth of the word of God? And will we be willing to suffer hardship as good soldiers of Christ Jesus? That is the question. Will we accept the blessing of gospel-centered suffering? You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And I think this is a great reminder to us that the call of Christ on our lives is a call to be a good soldier of Christ Jesus. It's a call to accept suffering, because we stand as salt and light in a lost and dying world. And people don't like to be called out, but they need to be called out so that they can come to Christ in repentance and faith. Don't go away. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about the issue of suffering. Paul told Timothy, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. He goes on to say, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, will suffer persecution. Not some, not most, all. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus. If that's your desire, to be faithful to the Lord, to honor Him, and to live a life that where you walk worthy of the calling with which you've been called, you will be persecuted. That word means persecuted. It doesn't mean that they're going to take your little finger and put it in the pencil sharpener. Remember the old pencil sharpeners when you were in school back in the day? You know, you have all these different sizes and you stick it in there and then you turn the crank. And we think persecution, you know, they're going to do that. It's going to be Chinese water torture. It's going to be bamboos under the fingernails. Well, it can be that. But literally that word to persecute means to put to flight. It means to pursue. It means to press. And they're going to come after you if you live godly in Christ Jesus. They're not going to leave you alone. Now, when we stand up in the culture and we shine the light, and we're salt in a lost and dying world. Salt, what does salt do? Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. If the salt has become tasteless, what will it be good for? It's good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. When we're salt, when you put salt in a wound, it burns in the wound. And so when the salt hits the wound, there's going to be pain there. And people want to get rid of the salt. So, well, perhaps you're familiar with what happened recently with the Baltimore Orioles pitcher, Anthony Bass. I'm sorry, not Baltimore Orioles. He's Toronto Blue Jays pitcher, Anthony Bass. Well, he tweeted out something about boycotting Target and Bud Light because they've sold their soul to the trans community, so to speak. They're just all in on destroying children with trans ideology and being the trailblazer for all that perversion. And they're suffering the consequences of that financially because people are saying, well, I'm not going to buy from you anymore if that's what you desire to do. Well, he came out and he retweeted some of those things and then he got backlash. And so what did he have to do? Well, he felt the need to apologize, and this is what he had to say.
I recognized yesterday I made a post that was hurtful to the Pride community, which includes friends of mine and close family members of mine, and I am truly sorry for that. I just spoke with my teammates and shared with them my actions yesterday, and I apologized with them. And as of right now, I'm using the Blue Jays resources to better educate myself, to make better decisions moving forward. The ballpark is for everybody. We include all fans at the ballpark, and we want to welcome everybody. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Well, Daryl Harrison, a friend of mine and a theologian that works for Grace to You, John MacArthur's ministry, he sent out that clip, and he titled it, When Your Beliefs Are Not Your Convictions. You know, beliefs are something we hold, but convictions are what hold us. And so obviously he was tweeting something out that didn't really hold him. And so when he got backlash for telling the truth, well, he didn't want to face the music there. So I'll just backtrack. I'll just apologize. Well, how does that work? Well, then he pitched yesterday and they booed him loudly. Because you can't apologize enough. And when you say something and the pride community, there's a big problem with that whole nomenclature. You're the pride community. I tweeted out yesterday, hey, if you're part of the pride community, just know that God is opposed to the proud. He gives grace to the humble. So the whole idea that I'm proud, I'm living in perversion and I'm proud of it. God's opposed to you. He's opposed to you for being proud, and he's opposed to you for championing sin in your life. But when you come out and you say, oh, they're mad at me, so I need to apologize, and then they're going to be my friend. No, they're not. They're just going to go after you and continue to go after you until they destroy you. You know, Max Lucado, when he was backed into a corner, then he came out and apologized about his views on homosexuality. You got to remember this. Where do we get our views on any issue, on any moral issue? We get those from the Word of God. Thus says the Lord. And so Romans chapter 3, verse 4, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. Now, if we're just cooking up theology and positions of doctrine out of our own head, well, then you're building on jello. But if we get them from the Word of God, then it's solid. This is what the Lord says. God defines morality. You and I do not. So we go by what God says, and we speak the truth. What is truth? Jesus said in his great high priestly prayer, John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. So we sanctify ourselves, set us ourselves apart in the truth, and we immerse ourselves in the truth, and then we speak the truth in love. And when somebody gets mad, we just say, well, that's what the Lord says. That's where I'm getting my theology. It's rooted in what the Lord says. It's not rooted in what I think, what I feel. It's rooted in what God says. Now, we've said on this program many, many times, you have to be careful. This is where people really go off the rails. You cannot let your meology determine your theology. You say, what is that, meology? Meology is what happens to me. Meology is, well, now I view the Word of God through the lens of circumstances. And so many, many people, when it comes to the issue, let's say, I mean, this is June 1, so it's the start of quote-unquote Pride Month. And so people say, well, you know, I was against homosexuality. I knew it was wrong from Scripture until that hit my family, until my son, my daughter, my grandson, my granddaughter came out gay. My friend, my neighbor came out gay, and I couldn't bring myself to say that the Word of God condemns that behavior, so I had to change my view of Scripture. They do the exact same thing with transgenderism. Well, surely the Bible can't mean what it clearly says because my friend whom I love so deeply is you know, opposite from what the Scripture says to do. They have an opposite view, and they seem to love God, and so God can't be against what they're doing. And so they make all these sacrifices to fit in this person and this person's belief system. You can't let your meology determine your theology. Your theology has to always determine your meology. What does God say? And then we look at our lives and what's going on in the world through the lens of Scripture. And as we look through the lens of Scripture, we see this is right and this is wrong. And we stand in the truth. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So, are we willing to suffer hardship as good soldiers of Christ Jesus? Do we want the acclaim and the applause of the world, or are we willing to stand alone? Are we willing to be hated? Are we willing to be like the prophet Micaiah, who will stand up before wicked King Ahab and say, here's what the Lord said, you go into battle and you're dead meat, pal. How dare you say that to me? All my other prophets said that I'll go in and win. How do you get off saying that I'm going to experience defeat He was speaking for the Lord, and he was willing to stand alone. The question is, are we willing to stand alone? You know, Dr. John MacArthur recently got gigged on Twitter and in the Twitterverse because he said, you know, in this life, we as Christians, we lose. You know, all the apostles, save the Apostle John, were martyred for their faith. They were killed for their faith. And if we get the idea that, you know, we go the way of the Lord, and in this life we are going to win, and the world is going to love us, and the world is going to follow after the gospel, some will, and we know that God wants to bring about a great revival. But if we have that idea that, you know, we just know in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us, that is true, Romans 8:37. But in the culture is not, by and large, going to go the way of the gospel. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. The whole world lies in the lap of the evil one. 1 John chapter 5. And so the devil is at work, the prince of the power of the air. And we stand up against the world system, and we call people to repentance. And as I said, it's not a popular message, but it's the message God has given us to preach. And if we're faithful to preach it, think about Jonah. Didn't want to preach the message, didn't want to see people saved. Now, that's a whole nother story. But his message was not a feel-good message. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Hey, judgment is coming. Well, they responded. By God's Holy Spirit, they responded to the preaching of Wrong Way Jonah, of the reluctant prophet, and they responded in repentance. And when God saw their repentance, when he saw that they were fasting and praying and in sackcloth and ashes and confessing their sin before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and crying out for mercy, then God didn't bring judgment. Why? Well, because what God wants is repentance. And when we do what God wants, then he responds in kind with forgiveness, with mercy, with compassion. The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. That is God. And you, Lord, as David said, Psalm 86, verse 5, you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. We're talking about suffering in the Christian life, and we're talking about standing up for truth, and we're talking about what are we going to do when it becomes a crime to be a Christian, when it becomes a crime to preach the word of God. Erwin Lutzer, in the book No Reason to Hide, Standing for Christ in a Collapsing Culture, he quotes from Matt Walsh, and he says this: how many of us are willing to give up anything, let alone everything, for the cause of Christ, for being a follower of Jesus? Here's what the quote is from Matt Walsh. We think we possess the conviction and the faith to give up our very lives for him. Laughable. Face it, most of us would grovel and weep at the feet of our Muslim captors and recite whatever Quranic prayer they demanded of us. I suspect most of us would probably do that if someone put a gun to our TV. Never mind our heads. Am I being too hard on us? Oh, I'm not being nearly hard enough. Are we willing to suffer hardship, to suffer loss? We're so afraid of getting canceled. Hey, I don't want to get canceled either. I don't like it when people come against me. I don't like people when they say all manner of evil against me falsely. I think everybody wants to be liked. But here's the thing. God has not called us as Christians to be popular. He's called us to be faithful. Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful to the gospel, faithful to the word of God, faithful to preach the truth and speak the truth in love. And when you are faithful to the Lord, as Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If we are truly like Jesus and we conduct our lives and our ministry in the same stream and the direction of the Lord Jesus, the world is not going to stand up and clap. The world is going to say, crucify him, crucify him. We do not like this teaching. We want you to hear, we want you to preach the message, I'm okay, you're okay, God loves you the way you are, you don't need to change. But we do, because unless we repent, we will all likewise perish. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I'm just reminding us all what the scripture says, suffer hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. We will open the phone lines when we come back from the break, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And I'd love to hear from you and discuss this with you as we talk about the issue of suffering, as we talk about being salt and light in a lost and dying world. It is not popular, but it is so desperately needed today. Don't go away. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. We're talking about suffering, suffering in this present evil age, standing up for Jesus as a good soldier of Christ Jesus, and accepting the fact that we are going to suffer persecution. Let all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy 2:13, will suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12, I'm sorry, will suffer persecution. Are you suffering persecution? If not, why not? Because if you're desiring to live godly in Christ Jesus, according to the scripture, you will be pursued. People will come after you. Why? Because you're shining and you're sharing and you're salt and light, and the salt hurts, the light hurts the eyes to men in darkness, and the salt burns in the wound of their sin, and they will respond to that that condition of the salt and light. And when they don't respond through repentance and faith, they will respond with anger. You become a stumbling block. The preaching of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness. And people aren't going to like it. And they'll call you a hater. They'll call you a homophobe. They'll call you a perverter of the gospel. You don't understand Jesus at all. You have the message all wrong. And if you did it right, then your churches, people would just flock and they would love it because Jesus had such a ministry. They forget the fact that when all was said and done, at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, when he went to the cross, what are they doing? They're saying, crucify him, crucify him. And in between the resurrection and the ascension, there are 120 believers in the upper room, just 120, not thousands and thousands and thousands. Jesus said in John chapter 6 when he fed the multitudes, you follow after me, because you were filled. You just want your physical needs met, and you're not really concerned about the deeper needs of your heart to get right with me. You just want what you can get out of me. So we need to stand up for Jesus, suffer hardship as good soldiers of Christ Jesus. Well, we're going to the phone lines as we talk about this issue, this important issue of suffering in these last days and the need for all of us to be willing to stand up for Jesus as good soldiers of the cross. And the number to call is 888-589-8840. And we have Kent on the line from Texas. Kent, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
I had a question. I've got to turn down my radio. Anyway, you know, yes, I do believe that when we stand up, that it will evoke hatred at times. But that seems like it depends on whether the person really is convicted of sin, or, you know, it seems like, what if the person is so complacent they don't care? I guess, you know, what if I was you're bringing up your topic today brought up to me the issue. What are the elements of repentance? How do you move a heart to where it is convicted of sin? And then it seems like if there's no fear of the Lord there also, that it won't arouse, you know, opposition or hatred, that they don't care. What I know this is not exactly what you're aimed at today, but I don't know. I find that even in my own heart, sometimes I don't really, I see a desire that I know is wrong, that I don't really quite, I'm not at the point of hating the sin, even though I know it's, I'm not going to do it and it's wrong. I guess, how do you get to the place of hating sin, you know, I guess that's part of being willing to take a stand against it. You know, if you're not clear of it yourself, you're not going to be a good spokesman. You know, you're not going to speak out against it strongly.
Right. Right. So men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds are evil. And so I think it comes, Kent, and I appreciate the question. So we have to just say, Lord, here is where my heart is. So these things of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And so, as the scripture says in 1 John chapter 2, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I think it comes from the Christian life, where we just have to be open before the Lord and say, Lord, my heart tends to love these things, and I don't want that. I want to love you supremely. And the greatest commandment, Jesus made it clear, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. So we come before the Lord and we say, Lord, I need you to change my heart so that my heart would be in tune with your heart, so that I would be able to see things clearly. So I believe that repentance begins when we see it in the prodigal son. He came to his senses. And for all of us, Kent, we have such a tendency to be deceived by sin. And we think that sin is going to satisfy. Sin never satisfies. Sin always leads to the pigsty. And the problem with sin is there's the passing pleasure associated with it. So when we're on the road, just like the prodigal, so he's on the road to the pigsty, but he doesn't see he's on the road to the pigsty because he's living a life of wine, women, and song, and there's the excitement and the allure of sin and the passing pleasures of sin, but it ends up at the pigsty. And it's a horrible existence when he finally gets there. So I think it's a prayer that says, God, make my heart like yours. Help me to see life through your perspective. And that's the importance of spending time in the Word of God, so that we're not deceived by the culture, so that we don't, Romans 12:2, let the world squeeze us into its mold, because the devil is a deceiver. And we have to constantly, as I've said on this program on many occasions, and as I've just shared with, share with the church almost on a weekly basis, what is the purpose of coming to worship? It's to be reminded of what the Lord says. It's to be reminded of where is true north, so that we can reorient our lives. as it says in the book of Revelation, the message to the church in Ephesus, but I have this against you. You have left your first love, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. And we're constantly bombarded to pollute our belief. And we need to constantly be reminded, this is what the Lord says. This is true north. And we need to reorient our lives to that. And we call men to repentance. And so that is what that means, to change your mind. What you think about sin, what you think about self, what you think about the Savior. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin, of righteousness, not our righteousness, His righteousness, and of judgment. Judgment is coming to those who go their own way. Woe to them, they have gone the way of Cain. The way of Cain is to go your own way, to worship God your own way, to believe your own things. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And we need to go the Lord's way, not our way. So I appreciate you calling in, Kent. God bless you, my brother. We have Euless on the line from Tennessee. Euless, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing. I've been a fan of y'all for about 10 years now.
All right.
Because my radio won't get no other station as clear like y'all.
Good.
And but I got one question. My question is, I know y'all stress homosexuality, and I agree with that. Uh-huh. But all these other sins that the Bible mentioned that will keep a person from heaven, y'all don't ever name those things as much. And I'm curious because you got a lot of people that Christians, but they do all these other things that the Bible mentioned, but it's not being stressed that's bad too. And
right.
I was just curious why y'all don't. And
right.
I'm asking because is it because y'all lose a lot of cuss, a lot of things, because a lot of people that say they Christian do those other things, adultery and fornication, drunkenness and all that. I'm just curious. I'm just going.
No, the great question, Euless, and we get accused of that a lot. Well, you Christians just harp on one thing, and that's your homophobes, and there are a lot of other sins other than homosexuality. You make homosexuality seem like it's the unpardonable sin. It's definitely not the unpardonable sin. Here's the difference. So in our culture, we are taking the sin of homosexuality and pushing it on people and saying this that was universally condemned as sin, we are saying now it's not sin, and it's not a sickness. It is good and right and fine. It is something to be celebrated. What are we in? We're in the month of June, and what is that? That's the celebration month for gay pride. Now, we don't have a pride month for stealing. We don't have a pride month for drunkenness. We don't have a pride month for adultery. Hey, let's celebrate adultery. Let's celebrate some other. Let's celebrate murder. This is the month that we celebrate murder. And so anything where the culture is saying what God has said is wrong is really right. That's a different issue. And so in our culture, we don't have, by and large, we don't have people promoting stealing, for instance. We have a lot of people stealing, but we don't have a lot of people saying stealing is good, stealing is right, stealing is moral, stealing is fine. Now, if we did, then we'd have to come out and say, listen, what you're hearing from the culture is wrong, because God says you shall not steal. You shall not steal. And so that is just so clear, commandment number 8. You shall not steal. So in the moral realm, we come against homosexuality very strongly because the culture is telling the world that is not a sin. And here is the problem with that. Once you change the fence post, once you change the out-of-bounds markers, once you say what is clearly a sin in Scripture is really not a sin, then you're telling people there's no need to repent. You're not in sin. There's no need to repent. And when you tell people there's no need to repent because you're not in sin, you cut off from them the means for salvation. You blow up the bridge for salvation, because unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So because we love people, we desperately need to blow the trumpet and sound the alarm and say, hey, you're being lied to here, and unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So that's why you hear that a lot, Euless, and that's what's going on in our culture. And God has given us over in Romans chapter 1. He's given us over to sexual immorality, and people, although they don't really champion, hey, I'm living in sin and look at me, with sexual immorality, fornication, and adultery, they really do champion sexual perversion, homosexuality, and now even pedophilia is being championed, and drag queen story hour and all that stuff. It's just a sick, sick mess. So that's where we are today. I appreciate the question. Thank you so much for listening. Well, we have Naomi on the line from Pennsylvania. Naomi, God bless you. Welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you so much. Oh, wonderful show. We need more shows like that, you know, to let us know and remind us, as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are witnesses, you know, for him, you know, in this perverse generation. And one of the scriptures that I love the most, which I love all of them, but one that I memorize and I love most is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 to 12, in which it says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. This is covered, everything, you know, everything is covered there. We have to bring it to the light. We have to let others know that this is a sinful lifestyle. And no matter who, you know, we have to let them know. Even into my, I let know to my nephew, Danielis Gonzalez. He, almost 6 years ago, he called me and he told me, and know me, I'm getting married. And I said, wonderful, that's so nice, I'm glad. So I said, who is the girl? So he said, he's not a girl, he's a man. And I say, that's not good, Danielis, because you are violating the word of the Lord, in which he says, God created a male and female, in Genesis right. chapter 1, verse 27.
Right. That's so true. Yeah, and we can't. And love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. So, Naomi, thank you for calling in. We're out of time today on Real Truth for Today. But thank you so much for listening. And hey, what are we called to do? We're called to be salt and light. We're called to shine and share and to suffer hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. So don't be afraid. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. And remember, we're here for one main purpose, to be his witnesses. So go out, witness today. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.